everything should be a learning experience. Learn to be better at what you're already doing, or learn to be better at what you may not know or not do so well at the current moment.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we welcome Coach Ashley Brim, the assistant coach for St. Joseph's women's basketball team. Ashley was a standout player at St. Joseph's, where she had an impressive collegiate career before continuing to play professionally overseas in places such as Puerto Rico, Bulgaria, Ireland, Mongolia, as well as Dubai. After her playing day, she began her college coaching career at Sacred Heart University, where she made an immediate impact developing guards and managing recruiting efforts. Coach Prim then moved on to LaSalle as an assistant coach, further strengthening her reputation for player development and program building. Her experiences in multiple roles, including scouting, recruiting, and player mentorship, has shaped her coaching philosophy into one built on relationships, accountability, and competitiveness. Currently at St. Joseph, she continues to elevate the program and inspire young athletes through her experience and leadership. In this episode, she talks on how her professional overseas playing career has shaped her as a coach, how her various roles in the coaching industry have shaped her coaching mentality, as well as the growth of women's basketball in today's era. Please welcome to the podcast, Ashley Prim. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Ladies and gentlemen and coaches out there, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast with us today. Alan Major and Doug Caputo, as always, the voices you've been hearing for long enough. But as we always say, there's the main reason you clicked on and listened to this episode. And that reason is for the assistant coach that we have sitting here today, women's assistant coach and recruiting coordinator, St. Joseph's University, Coach Ashley Prim. Coach Prim, welcome to the podcast. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Thank you both, Doug and Alan, for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. Yes. Shout out to Patty Medina as well.
That's my girl.
Unofficial podcast agent for us as well. She's been making it happen. So no, thank you, Ashley. This will be fun. We're happy to have you.
So with you, first off, you've had a stellar playing career. And I always tell everybody, like, if we're going to sit here and talk about something, I'm not going to let you do the bragging, because a lot of times people and coaches want to be humble, right? So we'll do the bragging for you. But you have had a stellar playing career, A-10 sixth player of the year, seventh most all-time in scoring history. But one thing that I want to bring you back to ultimately is, and please tell me if I'm pronouncing it, but it's Colby Cathedral High School, correct?
Yes.
Back to high school. Bring you back to the roots. Going into from there to now St. Joe's, of course, you had a playing career. You go from Colby to St. Joe's and continue your playing career. So it's ultimately full circle for you to be back and coaching where you were. But we'll get into that. One thing that we like to touch on is just going throughout the recruiting process from a senior to going into senior year of high school, freshman year of college. And of course, the landscape is completely different now. So obviously there's different tendencies and different means and ways of recruiting. But was there anything that St. Joseph's staff did to help really win you over to St. Joe's? And what were some of those things?
I would say bringing that family atmosphere and displaying what I can do as part of me being a player can bring to their program. I think they really pushed. I got the mail outs, and then I did, when it got to my senior year or into my senior year, junior year, they had me come down for an unofficial. I came down with my parents for an unofficial visit. My parents were able to drive me down. So that was one thing for my parents to be lucky enough to bring me down here to Philly. And then they brought me back for an official visit. But they did all those things. Like Coach Griffin was at one of my high school games, a couple of them. Coach Day, when he was here, he's now at LaSalle, recruited me to come here. And they just were always present. And I was able to meet with the girls on both visits. So I think just having that somewhat of a family atmosphere and plan for me at that time, they were losing a senior. So transfer portal wasn't a thing back then. So everybody, they were losing their senior point guard that next year, the year I was coming in. So and they didn't have, I think whoever they had as a sophomore didn't work out, or they got injured, that was going to be like their next point guard up. So basically they had no point guard going to that following year, and then they end up bringing in two. So in my head, I was like, oh, I got, I'm probably play 20 minutes at minimum my freshman year. So I think just that landscape of saying, hey, like, we want you to come here and play right away. And that was, and there was a space to do that on top of me visiting. I think on my official visit, I was with two of my teammates I still talk to today. Michelle Baker is also a coach at Villanova. So a lot of roots here outside of St. Joe's. So she was my host, and we didn't even do anything. We just stayed. I think they have finals the next day. So I was just in the dorm. We did the normal thing, went to class, went to lunch, we actually went on a bus tour, or the cycling tours when they had those in Philly. So that was like actually pretty cool. And I just went to sleep. So I didn't do any crazy partying or anything. And then when I made my decision, I technically had to wait for another person to say they don't want to go to St. Joe's. Then it was offered to me. And then once I got that call, I was like, oh yeah, no doubt about it. I probably would have cried if it didn't happen. Just that family atmosphere, like setting up a plan for me. And what incoming freshman wouldn't want to hear that you have the opportunity to play right away? It's up to you what you're going to do with the opportunity.
Yeah. It's funny. So many people talk about a family atmosphere. And sadly, it's overspoken and underlived at times. But it sounds like they lived up to the hype. Because a lot of programs will say, yeah, we're family atmosphere. But then you get there, and you're like, this ain't a family. What specifically made you feel that the very thing that they were saying, selling in the process about the family part of it?
I think I could see that in that plan as far as, okay, they're not lying to me because like they're only doing my research. And just the players, like they were so nice on my visit, and I interacted with a couple of them a little bit previously, and they you don't know until you get there. But sometimes it's just, I just had a feeling. I always tell kids, like, you just have a feeling that this is going to be, and it ended up being great. And looking back on it now, those same people are still in my group chats. I still talk to them every single day. And I would love for that to continue with our players. But it's about what you guys do. And everybody had the same goal and wanted to work hard. I knew that from watching workouts. And I was like, I'm going to want to play with her. She runs. I think I could fit in here. And then the coaching staff, just like I said, you don't know until, but I wasn't able to shoot a three before when I got recruited. I wasn't great at shooting a three. And knowing that I was still recruited and being able to play at this visual level, and knowing what I needed to grow through, which kind of had to force me to grow later down the line when I got to college. But yeah, so you still take a chance either way, but it just felt right. And that's hence why I'm back here trying to recreate that same atmosphere. I know it's different now in the whole recruiting stage and social media and stuff, but as much as possible to like one, recruit good kids and that actually want to get their goals together and just have fun, work hard, and hopefully ends up in great in championships. And that's not guaranteed, but at least you guys are growing and becoming better young women, athletes, potentially have jobs after that. That's the real goal. So that's what I'm trying to help recreate every single year with whoever is here for that year.
I always tell everybody whenever they go on a visit, like it's solely, what's the best way to put it? Whenever somebody comes to a visit, I'm just like, you just know if it's right or wrong within the first 15 to 20 minutes. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if it's anybody else that feels this way, but like when I was going through my visits, I remember within the first 15, 20 minutes, you're like, something's clicking and something is not. And especially when you're having that visit, like now as a coach, you have somebody on and you can just feel, is there automatic chemistry? And I don't know how to explain it. It's just a gut feeling. And then that is ultimately like a good or bad sign. And you're like, okay, let's segue this and keep moving forward. But you just get that weird feeling right away that's just like, this is it or this is not.
Yeah. No, and I was like.
What I love about what you said is like the fact that you still got all these people in group chats and everything, that's like perfect confirmation of the feeling that you had.
Yes.
Because now here you are, basically they start recruiting you maybe 2 years in high school or sometimes sophomore year, junior year. And then you go all the way through your career. And now, so you're talking 6-8 year relationships here that are still alive and vibrant, but that's literally confirmation of that feeling that you felt about St. Joe's in the first place, which that's the family atmosphere being lived out, right?
Yeah.
Like that's total evidence, which is great.
And as I said, you've obviously had a phenomenal playing career following St. Joe's, right? You got to go across the world. Right. Yeah. Professionally, Puerto Rico, Bulgaria, Ireland, Mongolia, Dubai. Dubai definitely interests me. I was like, all right, I have to make sure to say something. That would be a cool experience. I'm sure you have a lot of stories about that one. But throughout these playing experiences, of course, having a good extensive career in the States and then going throughout the world, was there anything that those experiences just overseas? Because every country has different ways of coaching, different styles of playing. Everything is completely unique and depending on where you go. So was there anything that you learned from those experiences that kind of you were able to bring back and use as a coach?
Yeah, I would say as far as like finding chemistry with people, you may not have a lot of in common or even speak the same language. I would assume basketball language in some aspects is universal. But I know Mongolia had some American players, but the girls didn't. Most of the team did not speak any type of English, and the coach spoke broken English. But it's just making that connections through actions that you can, and obviously coming there to play, being a leader with people that don't understand you. So that was really beneficial to take. Okay, here everybody knows English and knows a lot of basketball terminology, but they might not know exactly what we're doing. And we rely on our players that kind of been through, our veterans, to help them adjust. We're going to do our job as coaches, but any extra help that our players can do to help them move the process along so they can adjust a little bit quicker, I think that in itself is like when you have just not just the coaches, but our team be able to lead themselves in some aspects. Like that's what I took a lot from it. And then just, I would say the grit pretty much on every team. A lot of the natives, I would say, don't get paid as much. So they know Americans are coming in and getting this amount of money, and it doesn't change their work ethic because they still want to win. They want to be a part of that. They practice all year round. So I played in Puerto Rico 5 years, been in a national team for one, and I love it. One, I love it there. I got a lot of family out there, but it's like basketball. They do have jobs. They do have kids sometimes. Basketball is everything. And just realizing that when you don't get maybe extra benefits and you do it out of love, like the benefits are great, but you still, at the end of the day, you still have to love basketball, because then it's a lot of work you're putting in. Yes, to get paid, but yes, to also do it. Same thing with coaching. I'm like, yes, you can get paid, but I would like to love what I do and get paid at the same time. But at the end of the day, I want to love what I do, and I'll figure out the rest later. And they just play every game with not necessarily getting anything in return from that. Sometimes they don't even play. And it's just, you just have to have that, whether you're number one on the team or number 15, that same mindset, regardless of all the outside factors. So it's just like they play with grit, and it's just, okay, I'm getting this, so I need to play just as hard as they do if they're not getting X, Y, and Z.
No, well said. Great book by Angela Duckworth, by the way. Grit, really good book. Great book for coaches. Yes, Angela Duckworth is the author. It's a great book. Let me ask you this. Now that you're coaching, and typically when you're playing overseas as an American, you're not only, like you just said, everybody knows you're the import, but they also know your imports are going to be better players, often the best player. Did you having to be the import learn how to help players that weren't as talented, that maybe didn't speak English as well, or if at all, did that help you become more patient as a coach now, even, and maybe now you're realizing it now, but you didn't know it then, if that makes sense? Because yeah, you had to be a leader, but you also had to be patient, because sometimes you're just trying to wait and see if they understood what you were just trying to say or do. And so that probably created a level of patience in you that now probably helps you as a coach.
Yeah, no, I would 1000% agree. I've always been a patient person, you know, just upbringing, but on the court, it's like a different level. So I'm a little less patient on the court, but yeah, even playing over, you can't do anything. You can't even run plays unless people know where they're supposed to go. So it's like taking that time, one, to build a relationship with them off the court. So as much as sometimes maybe I didn't want to do something, it's at least you have to make an effort, so then they make an effort for you. So if you're overseas and you don't want to do anything with anybody, all right, it's going to be a little bit harder for you to build relationships and then take that time. But just at the end of the day, what do you care? I did care for that, and I cared more when I was going overseas to make sure, hey, we got to be on the same page so we can win. All right, you're going here, and just try to repeat it enough so you understand, and then whatever those players, the better players, could take care of, we'll figure it out with everybody else. But yeah, I think my patience as a coach, I think it got a little bit short. It's going to get a little bit shorter, but I want to hold my players even more accountable than I did like last year, especially the returners. So I'm going to have less patience with you if you're still doing those same mistakes over and over again that we've already talked about that you make. And then now we're just here. Like, where are we going to go? Because the way to go is up. So yeah, I would say that helped me a lot with stepping back with certain players. Okay, this is what you're struggling with, so let's work on this a little bit more. because you're already fine with the other things. And then working now, I think it's about finding the walls for some. So we have a newer team this year. We lost a lot of seniors, and finding when are you going to hit your wall and surpass that? I want to push you to your wall, but we are going to have a different season because we have different players. What are we going to do? We're going to be patient, but at some point it's going to stop. And hey, you either got to get this or we got to move on. And I don't want to move on without you.
Oh, I bet it does. And as a point guard, point guard's not a position. It's like holding an office almost as a point guard. You're almost a politician. Because you have to have that feel for everyone, and you have to be able to read the room and read the huddle and look at faces and see who's terrified in the last 2 minutes and who isn't.
I learned a lot of that at St. Joe's when I got here, because I was a freshman point guard leading a whole bunch of veterans, and I didn't talk. I was a lot of action, didn't talk too much until probably like the following year where I was just one. Now that I'm a coach, I'm fine talking to anybody. You have to do it with the job, and it just comes with it. And I'm very comfortable with it now. But when I first got to college, I was like, I have to direct older people that probably know more things than me. So that was a learning curve, and it helped me to be a captain going into my senior year. And I wanted that. I worked towards that, to be louder, to be more vocal, to be able to direct, to hold myself and others accountable, and to be very honest. Like, I'm still an honest coach. I don't try to sugarcoat a lot of things, and it might sound a little nicer, but the point is still the same when I get it across. That has helped me so much to be able to talk. And I tell all my kids like that want to potentially be captains, you have to be able to talk. Okay, you want to be in this NIL space. If you want all these things, sponsorships, you have to be able to interact and have conversations and talk to people face to face and introduce yourself. If you want those things, like, part of it is on you and growing into adulthood for what you want. And sometimes it might come and you have to figure it out. A lot of stars just can't hide. You just can't hide if you're a star at the end of the day.
No, that's the art of professionalism, right? It's one thing to be a pro and be paid to play. That's different. Mm-hmm. But professionalism travels regardless of your career. And what you're describing is you're trying to get them to understand there's a level of professionalism. You go to a speaking engagement, they'll wear a sweatsuit. Go with you got some loot in your pocket. Go get a business suit, black suit, white blouse or whatever it is. And just say, get your own digital business cards made up or something, so people can tap your phone and you got all your information on there. And master the art of a handshake and eye contact. Yeah. Like, this is professionalism. So I love that you're saying all that stuff, because they're going to be professionals one way or the other, hopefully playing if they're good enough.
Yeah.
But they're going to translate into being a professional in some form or fashion. So those same habits are going to travel.
Yeah.
No doubt. Especially those are the type of things where you're not doing somebody justice if you're not teaching them. Like, being the hard truth of something, telling somebody the truth, I got to say, might be one of the hardest things to do, especially as a young coach, because you want to try and be close to, or maybe just as a coach in general. Like, obviously, yes, you always have to tell the truth. I'm not saying anything against that. But the simple fact that telling the truth to somebody and then it being a hard truth, and then, hey, listen, you're going to have to take a backseat this year. We have somebody else that stepped in, or something like along those lines of that conversation. It's not an easy thing to be able to tell somebody who you've grown a relationship with over a couple of years, and you're like, hey, like, you didn't work hard enough or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, that's the type of conversation that they'll come back and be like, I respect the heck out of what you said to me. Thank you for that. And I've seen so many careers ruined because people have been promised things, got recruited somewhere, went there, and then never got anything that they were promised. And it's just like everything was thrown away.
Yeah, got to be careful with that word in recruiting. Promise.
Yeah, we don't. Oh my God.
Never.
Got to be careful with that word.
I don't even make personal promises. I feel like I can't keep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Got to be careful with that word. But no,
I completely agree.
So true.
And especially how we say with everything changing with the money now, that's a completely different story that we won't even go into. But we're talking on that, though. Also, one of the things that you do is recruiting coordinator, as I mentioned. So going into that, you've been on the operations coordinator side, the operations side. You've been obviously an assistant coach, as you are still now, recruiting coordinator. You have done a variety of different things. And again, been a player at a high level. So you've seen many assets of the game and ways that teams work. Is there anything across those roles, just values, mindsets, starting from the bottom and working your way up? Like, what were your personal mindsets going into those first initial positions starting as a coach?
I would say going into, even before that, I'll say, segueing from leaving college with my current head coach, Griffin, who was my head coach when I played at St. Joe's, is make sure you're a good person. You want to work hard and be a good person at the end of the day, because if I didn't do all those things, I wouldn't have made those relationships. Or if I wanted to act crazy while I was at St. Joe's, Coach Griffin would not vouch for me in anything. Or anybody who coached me at St. Joe's or in that world would not want to help me. So when I was playing, I would say I was a little bit, not necessarily delayed, but a lot of people go into that, into the coaching profession right after college. I played for 5 years because that's what I wanted to do. Loved it. And then I was like, okay, now it's time to get into the business. Like, how do I get in? So Coach Griffin was one of my calls. Coach Jada Pierce, she's currently head coach at Niagara University. So she was one of my assistant coaches here at St. Joe's for my senior year that I reached out to them initially. I was like, hey, could you help me get in the business? So it's all about me putting the work in. You don't have a real resume. You just have what you do, like your hard work, your character while you're playing. So if you're, they literally were going off of that as far as recommending me for jobs. So that's kind of, hey, you're building kind of your resume and your connections now while you're playing. Even just if you didn't go to a school, you still have that connection. It's, hey, she was a nice kid. She didn't come here, but hey, you never know what could happen in the future. Our players here too. Like, we want to help all of them get to X, Y, and Z, whatever their goals are. So that was even starting before I started my jobs, and then looking for a job. I applied for a ton. And a couple of them were like, they knew they had a better relationship from who got hired. So I was like, you just have to be okay with being turned down and fire you up for the next shot. Okay, this didn't happen because of this. So let me adjust and do here. Let me look in here. And I was looking at anything, a GA position, director of ops. And then I ended up, Jessica Minetti was the coach who hired me as the Dobo at Sacred Heart University 2019. And she coached me. So I had that connection as well. But I knew I wanted to coach. Not that director of operations wasn't coaching. Now you can do that. But back then, you only technically do operational stuff. But with that, I knew I wanted to be a coach. So I was made sure I was in every single coaching meeting. Anything that I can watch, practice, or like legally do at the time, I was doing. So I was like, I knew my goal. I'm going to be in all these coaching meetings and then just handle my work after, because it was still, I had to do my job, doing travel, food, itineraries, all that stuff. But that helped me too, so I can learn the system, obviously build a relationship with the girls. And then I would say I was very blessed in my path, because I was a director of operations for 1 year and then assistant coach that following year because one of the coaches left. So I was able to be there for 2 years and then was assistant coach during COVID. So that was really interesting my first year as an assistant coach. But it's for me personally, I never want to get too comfortable with something. If job's cool, then something, I got to be fixing something at my house or a goal of something that makes me uncomfortable. Cause I don't work well being comfortable in all aspects of my life, but it's just, okay. Once I became an assistant coach, I'm like, what's the next step? I got it. This is how I'm working while I'm in the current job I am doing, which is to the best of my abilities and taking on sometimes more than I should be, but having balance. I'm learning that a little bit more now. And just whatever you want towards your goal, you're going to do whatever you want. So it's up to you. You have a goal. My next goal was to be a recruiting coordinator after I got the assistant job. And then obviously bringing a recruit, have all conference players like that. Those are always goals, whether they happen or not. You can't control that, but you can do your best. So it's just like what I wanted. It was always a next goal. Once I got something, there's a next goal of the next stage. And that already prepares you. If you're already prepared for a next goal, you're already going to do all these things because you have a goal in mind. So it's going to happen by instinct. But if you're intrinsically motivated, you're a go-getter, you good at building relationships and have a goal for yourself. And depending on your type of character, I want to be real honest with my kids as a coach, help them with any advice, personal advice that I can, and learning from them as well. Their story is not my story at St. Joe's, but if they need some advice to see the whole picture that I can help them with, I'll offer it, but not overbearing, because their story is not my story. Their story is totally different. And I want it to be better than my story, specifically because I'm currently at St. Joe's. So that is just like, you got to want more for yourself, because nobody's going to want it more than you. We might not want it at the current moment more than our kids, but I want them to want to reach their goals for them, not for us.
Yeah. And what's great about what you're saying is, like, nobody's going to care about St. Joe's as much as you are. Like, you have literally blood, sweat, and tears in that gym on that floor. So there's I can see, like, you, that feeling of, you know, how great the experience can be there if somebody invests at a level that they're capable of. And if their work level matches their talent level, it's okay. I've seen what can happen here, you guys. So you've set a bit of a standard for them in a way that's great, because you've walked through that place and you've seen how special that experience can be. So yeah, you're right. It's hard. There'll be times where you do run into that, where you want it a little bit more than they do. And that's where the patience button gets pushed a little bit.
Our conversations come in.
Yeah, the truth telling thing. And then they have to decide what they do with that truth. And on we go as coaches. But yeah, no, that's very well said. Very well said.
The one thing, too, you mentioned in not burning a bridge in the recruiting process. That right there is, especially nowadays, like before, obviously, you never want to burn a bridge nonetheless. But now it's like that kid could be gone in half a semester and already in the portal. And it's, you already burnt that bridge. You're going to have to see him now find a way back into the conference, but not on your team or something, because he's going somewhere else. So you definitely never want to burn a bridge with a family or a parent. And that's the one thing that I've really been adjusting to is, not that I guess I shouldn't say it that way, because it makes it sound like I was burning bridges before. But like now you take it a little less to the heart and then just more of, hey, whatever's best for you.
Yeah.
Any changes, feel free to reach out.
Yeah. Be careful how you say goodbye. That's literally what you just be careful how you say goodbye. Yeah. Say good luck while you say goodbye. Make sure you say good luck when you say goodbye. Wish you the best.
We'll see you again soon.
If we hammer you by 20 when we play you, don't take it personally. So you can throw some funny, throw a little joke in there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you never know that. These things can go full circle in a crazy way now more than ever. Absolutely.
So Coach Prem, we got to talk about this. Okay. We said it before we hopped on, but just the general landscape of women's basketball and the growth that it is seeing so far, right? From your program, obviously has been a very good program moving well so far, as well as continuing moving forward, but then just the game as a whole, that is something that everybody has seen an absolute skyrocket and evolution, like a lot of growth in it the last few years. How do you see it to continue to grow? And then ultimately, I mean, if we're talking 5-10 years down the line, like how do you see this kind of progressing still?
I love where it's going. I think it's just about visibility and having a presence, having role models. And even if they're not your role model, they're still a presence. Like the WNBA is really big, and just women's basketball, college basketball is really big too. Same thing with AAU. I think just being more visible. I know what it was over probably 15 years ago when I was in high school, there wasn't a ton of WNBA games on TV. I was also outside playing a lot, so that could be have a
That's
thing.
Old school. That's old school right there. No wonder you were tough. No wonder you were tough. Now I get it now. You were outside playing
with the boys.
Yeah, no wonder you were tough. I get it now.
Okay. It's at your fingertips. Pretty much all our games for the last couple of years have been on ESPN Plus. You can literally find a game during the season from any conference on ESPN Plus. Like high school players have access to it. The WNBA games are on every night. So I think just being more visible, and I think social media is doing a big thing. Like good, bad press, whatever. And you want to be your authentic self. At some point in time, you can only be someone else for a certain amount of time, and people are either gonna accept who you are as a player, as a person, or not. Because at the end of the day, everybody's not gonna love you, and hopefully, everybody doesn't hate you. But I think the more, even the tunnel fits in the WNBA, like that's trickling into college, and I think it's being more visible and seeing outside. Like the girls are still working. At the end of the day, the work is still the same. They're still doing all that stuff. But being able to have a platform outside of just basketball, obviously for when the ball stops bouncing too. So I think it's just continuing to grow. NIL space is always good and bad. But at the end of the day, regardless of how much money you're getting or not getting for where you're at, you still have to, one, be a good fit for you. It has to be a good fit for you. And you hopefully love where you're at or want to make the best of the situation. Because I wouldn't suggest anybody, no matter how amount of money, and yes, everybody's circumstances are different, but if you don't feel loved or, you know, with your team that you can walk in there every single day happy, then that might not be the best fit for you. So I think it's just going to continue to grow. I think social media is doing a great thing and just putting female basketball on all levels and platforms out there so everybody can see. Like, soccer play, like even all sports, I think it's just going to continue to grow, and would love for more money to be involved overall on college, WNBA, professional basketball for females, which is growing. But I just don't see it backtracking from here because of how visible it is. And yes, we're setting certain standards, and you only see the top and also seeing realistic views. But I think that's what social media helps with, and seeing that stuff in person. When you go on visits, every school is different, every conference is different, and being able to see what it is once you see it live outside. So social media will give you some stuff. We're doing a lot more, so you can get a look at our girls outside the court until we start playing. I love where it's going. The fact that I can turn on, look on my phone, turn on WNBA app, find it just at all times of the day, find, oh, the Suns are playing, or Liberty play with Tasha Cloud. It's just, hey, girls, go watch. They can watch our games online. I love where it's going. Yes, that money does make things, like I said, we're not talking too much. Money does make things a little bit different. But at the end of the day, yeah, you can go somewhere for money, or you can go somewhere for less money and love it there. It's just the right fit for you. The right fit is that's going to ultimately the what you're going to be okay with your decisions. Because unfortunately, money doesn't always make everything better. It can, but at the end of the day, you know,
it definitely can.
You want to make it a right fit. If all things can line up perfectly, that's great. But just make it a right fit where you're valued and you feel valued.
Mm, yeah. I don't know if they've discussed this. I'd be curious to see if they have a women's developmental league in the plans, because I know the league is expanding. Yeah. But I wonder, would a developmental league give more players opportunities, but it would also create more coaching opportunities as well? I'm in Indy right now. The Fever are basically playing on one leg with all their injuries.
Yeah.
But would they have been able to call up two or three players that could possibly chip in if you have a developmental league? And again, I know ideas cost money. I get it. But with so few teams, I think, you know, it looks like they're trying to eventually get to maybe 16. And maybe this is the magic number that they're shooting for based on how they're adding some developmental teams, but or some expansion teams. But I don't know if they've talked about that at all, discussed it, but that's a curiosity for me, because again, it just creates more playing opportunities here for players that could eventually matriculate to that level. But then also it's more coaching opportunities for coaches, both male and female, on the women's side, professionally.
Yeah.
No, especially being able to have, what is it, three more teams being added right now?
I think so. Yeah, Cleveland, Detroit, and Philly. Yeah, and I think they've talked about Toronto too. I'm not sure if Toronto's been in discussion. I think it might have been, but yeah. So that would take it from what's it 11 now? So that takes it to 14, I think, after that. So I'm guessing they're pushing for 16. I don't know if that's the case, but anyway, just a little food for thought there, WNBA people. Think about it. Think about your own.
think about it. We'll get ahead of the WNBA executives.
Think about your own D-League there, WNBA D-League. Yeah.
So I want to ask you, too, just coaching on the women's side, like staying on this side of things. As we mentioned, we get to talk about this, but we haven't really had an opportunity to talk about it with too many people. So it's honestly great to hear your insight and just like the growth of everything. But just the biggest misconception, I feel like maybe people don't look at coaching in the women's side. Maybe they do or they don't. Like they look at one way or the other. And it all depends on maybe they just haven't been a part of that. I know Mage has informed me a lot about it just because he was on with Texas on the women's side for a year. So I know he's got to be able to be a part of it. But just, is there a misconception that you feel like people have about coaching on the women's side?
I would say maybe sometimes they're like, it's easy for looking at, okay, you guys get gear, you do this, you just watch kids play basketball. I was like, yeah, I wish it was that. I think that might be some of the misconception on that. And it's that there's a timeline. I'm pretty sure I can't see any coach that says they really aren't working 24/7. To be honest, there's really no downtime, especially with the transfer portal now and even the recruiting shutdowns. You might still have workouts or just stuff to do that just doesn't involve talking to recruits, which is all year round. So I think that's easy. And you know that you have breaks in a sense, because you really don't. You really don't. Try to have some balance, like I said, working on that, but you really don't get a lot of breaks. It's an all year round job. So I'll say those are a couple misconceptions, and it's not just basketball. Yeah. A lot of other things we do outside of on the course, working out with our kids, and it's a lot more to it.
Making sure you get a healthy balance of that right there is one of the things, especially as a young coach, because all you hear about is, as a young coach, you hear and listen to people such as yourself, and they say, make sure you grind, work your tail off, you got to do all this. And you're like, okay, you train it in your brain that I got to keep going, and you do all this. And then you finally get to a point where you're like driving yourself insane, you feel like. So I 100% understand what you're saying, because sometimes you got to be able to just turn that phone off, throw it aside, get a couple hours, even if it's a couple hours a day or just an hour a day to reflect, sit down, think about everything, and get that, get some time away from everything. So that's a key note to
keep. That's a goal of mine this year, to have some balance.
Yeah, you know, you're still on trial and error mode as a young coach, and the every year you're into it, you learn how to work just as hard, but you just learn to work smarter. And one thing that really shifted for me as a young coach is I started coming in earlier, not crazy, but coming in and utilizing that 2 or 3 hours before the office started buzzing. And go get my Starbucks, turn on some jazz music, watch film, and it's quiet in there. Maybe you see the maintenance folks come through and wave and say hello, good morning. But other than that, it's quiet from like that 6:30 or 7 until 9:30 period. And that really helped me, because I started getting uninterrupted time to do stuff. And then all of a sudden, you don't need to stay in there till 9-10 o'clock at night, because you're being, as you get deeper into this, you'll learn how to work just as hard, but you'll work smarter, and you can strategically use the clock to your advantage if you commit to it.
I'm not an early morning person. I'm a late night person.
Which is okay. No, that's okay, because that late night hours can be quiet too after everybody's gone.
So no, but I want to be on that wave. I want to turn on I'm working towards it. That's
You might have to just do in 30-minute chunks. Just start scaling back 30 less.
I started doing that. I started doing that. I would go to sleep another half hour sooner and then wake up a half hour earlier. And I started going, like, after a couple of weeks, cut it back another half hour. And I've been getting into a more routine. So that's actually, I'm more of a night person myself. Trust me, I'm the same thing as you.
It is beneficial to do my workouts in the morning, get some work done, and then
a
little bit more at night, and then just go to sleep and do it again the next
day. Studies show that most productivity comes from in the morning, which is like the weirdest thing, especially if you're not a morning person. But it's true. It's true. I don't know how it's true, but it's true.
It's still the player in her. The player in her is still the night owl. She's ringing that out little by little, drop by drop. She's working
it out. What's best for me is to wake up earlier.
No, trust me, I wasn't doing that out of the gate. So that was 10 years at least into it when I started using mornings. But it does make a difference. But everybody's got to do what's best for them. But now you'll learn how to work smarter as you continue to work harder. So it's a delicate balance, but it can happen.
So Coach Prem, you have given us some great advice so far. And what we always like to do is just wrap it all up, put a bow on top, and ultimately give you a full circle moment here. If there was anything that you could say to yourself starting out in the coaching profession, any advice that you could give to yourself, knowing what you know now in the position you're in, what advice would you share with yourself in the industry?
I would say, don't take things too personal. For rejections, for jobs, maybe your coach yelled at you, as me being an adult. I think don't take things too personal, but use it to motivate you. Because I'm still learning. I learn from my players. I learn from the people I work with, even on podcasts like these. Like, you're always learning something, which always has open ears, but you also have things to teach that you can teach to at whatever stage you're at. And I think, and it's still working on for me to not take things too personal. Oh, you didn't like this. Or, okay, I'm confident enough that this is what we're doing and it's work. So if it's not working, we'll adjust something. Or if my head coach says, hey, we're not doing this, we're not. It's a done deal. But don't take what it says. Same thing. If coaches, I tell our players, coaches yelling, listen, I know it's going to be hard for you, but don't listen to what she's saying, not necessarily the tone. And I know it's hard for them at 18 to 22 to listen to that. It's still at times hard for me, but it's okay. Once you sit down, like, what did she actually say? And what do I need to do to adjust, fix, or continue building upon if I'm doing the right thing? So I think just not taking everything, every rejection personal. I think somebody doesn't have time to connect with you, still reach out. You never know what's happening. Maybe they just had something to do that day, or somebody had a bad day. Still put that effort in, and then you can make the decision after. I always like to give, just in general, a couple chances, and then I'm like, okay, I'm a recruit. Hey, I'm going to hit you up a lot of times, and then after a certain amount of time, then I'm going to just not hit you up. Just keep working. Find a way. And like I said, balance TBD. If you can figure out how to do all this stuff and still be great at your job without balance, okay, cool. It would be nice to have it, but just don't take anything personal and just use it to motivate you to learn. Like, everything should be a learning experience. Learn to be better at what you're already doing, or learn to be better at what you may not know or not do so well at the current moment.
Love it.
Perfect.
Actually, before Doug lands the plane here, St. Joe's women's program is in great shape, because one thing that's shown through in this pod, at least for me, you are a competitor. You obviously were a great competitor as a player, but I can still feel that fire burning as a coach from your point guard perfectionist mentality that you are a competitor. And so
yeah.
the program's in great shape. We are so happy that you're able to jump on with us. This was so good because, again, we're challenging ourselves. How can we make this pod better? And our pod's only as good as the people we bring on it. And you, Rising Coaches, got better today. So we appreciate this.
I was like, Doug, Alan, thank you so much for even this opportunity to be on this podcast. Like, this was so much fun. I know. Come see St. Joe's. If you watch this podcast, come see St. Joe's play this year.
Hey.
I'm excited. We're rebuilding. So excited. But like I said, I appreciate you guys for the opportunity to even be on the Rising Coaches podcast as well.
Absolutely. No, this was great.
No, we do appreciate it. And hey, 24-10 for growing program is a good season last year. Yeah. It's a great season.
That's all right. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
But no, we, as Mage said, we appreciate you for being on here, sharing everything. And yeah, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And for everybody out there, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. Alan Major, Doug Caputo, keep working and keep rising, coaches. We'll see you all soon. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.